This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Slips into a doorway to escape some pursuers and steps into one of the most sinister traps ever planned. But wait, I don't want to be like the chap who saw the movie before you did and spills the whole yarn. This week, it's the favorite story choice of the eminent author and critic, Mr. Henry Seidel Canby, chairman of the editorial board of the Book of the Month Club and the Saturday Review of Literature. The story Mr. Canby chose is Stevenson's unusual romance, Sire de Maltois' Door. Now, there's an odd thing about this favorite story. To really enjoy it, you must see what happens. So, we're giving you a pair of radio eyes for the next half hour. We're going to dramatize the story as if it were a motion picture, which you might see on the screen of your local theater. In addition to the microphone, we're introducing a camera to tell you about the long shots and close-ups, to describe what you might see as well as hear. And we're giving the camera a voice. Let me introduce the voice of the camera.
Long shot. Night. A jagged hilltop somewhere in northern France. The moon emerges for a few seconds from the hurrying clouds, and we see a shield half buried in the dirt. Nearby, a broken helmet, crisscrossed with the scratchings of a broadsword. All around us, the debris of hand-to-hand battle. There, pinned beneath the carcass of his horse, a knight in chain mail, a spear shoved through his chest, his sightless eyes staring. What was that? Someone moving in the shadows. A man making his way across the battlefield. We cannot see him clearly. The moon has gone again.
Who goes there? Who's there, friend or foe?
That depends on who you are. If you salute King Henry of England, I'm a friend. But if you follow the coward King of France, sir, you've seen the last day of your life.
Put away your sword. I'm an Englishman, and sick to death of Normandy. Oh. Rain. All it does in this foul country.
I've heard it rains in England, too, sir.
Oh, but that's English rain. This French rain. Ah. Let me see your safe conduct. Have you got one?
Here. Signed by the Lord Constable himself.
Eh? Let me see. Grant safe conduct to Denis de Beau...
Denis de Beaulieu.
Is that your name?
It is.
It sounds like a French name.
I'm a loyal subject of the English crown and a close friend of King Henry. Do you challenge my safe conduct?
I don't challenge it. Pass. Pass, Sire de Beaulieu. Are you headed for the town?
Yes. Why do you laugh, sir?
Better go back to camp. I wouldn't give a farthing for your life in the town tonight.
Why not?
Don't you know the place is full of soldiers?
I can take care of myself.
One look at your name on that safe conduct and you'll be stabbed in the throat quick as a blink. Say Denis de Beaulieu to an English soldier? Why, it's like waving a red flag at a bull. What a name, Denis de Beaulieu.
Do you insult my name, sir?
Put away your sword, young hothead. But I'm warning you, you'd live longer in the town tonight if your name was Herbert Askins.
Meanwhile, Medium close shot. Exterior. Night. Dennis is striding into the outskirts of the town. He stops by the light of a window to scrape the caked mud off his shoes. He's a handsome fellow, this Dennis. Tall, young, richly dressed. And that sword he carries so proudly, it has the color of Toledo steel. Close up. Dennis, listening. Long shot. Down a twisting alleyway, we see a glimmer of torchlight. A dozen English soldiers come into view, swaying, leaning on each other's shoulders.
That's right, that's right.
Blood of a Frenchman!
Before the night is over, we are going to spill the blood of a Frenchman!
Close up, Dennis. The torchlight plays on his face. He looks apprehensive. Suddenly, he dashes away.
What was that? Oh, come back!
Montage. Dennis runs through the shadows. The men with torches close behind him, he twists up a dark side street. They follow. He doubles back into a courtyard. His pursuers lose him for a moment. Dennis pauses in a doorway. Close up. Dennis, breathing hard.
Sit away, you fool! I swear to you, he went into the courtyard!
Medium close up. Dennis looks for a new hiding place. The moon comes out. No other place to go, no other entrance to the courtyard. Long shot, the men with the torches coming nearer. Close up. Dennis, torchlight on his face. He flattens himself against the door. He presses against it.
Well,
he slips inside the open door, quickly closes it behind him.
Oh.
Darkness. Complete darkness.
Oh, saints be praised. Goodbye. Goodbye. Have a pleasant evening, gentlemen, and I hope I never see you again until the life everlasting. Preferably not then. Where the devil is the knob on this door? No knob? No latch string? No handle? It's absurd. I can't even get a finger hold along the edge. Budge. Well, Dennis, it looks as if you've got yourself out of one stew right into another. Where am I? As black as the pit. Maybe I'm... No. Oh, that's ridiculous. I'm alive. I think... Hello!
Need to raise your voice.
What?
Man. I have been expecting you all the evening.
Where are you? I can't see.
Of course you can't see. There is no light. I have often observed it is difficult to see when there is no light.
You've been expecting me?
All evening. Pray sit down. There's a chair close behind you.
Sir, I'm afraid you're mistaken. My coming here was extremely accidental. I'm not who you think I am. If you were expecting a visitor, let me assure you I'm not your man.
No.
No, my coming in here was an accident. I was pursued.
Well, here you are, which is the main point. For the time being, you may put yourself entirely at ease, my young friend. We shall arrange our little affairs presently.
Affairs? How can we have any business together? I don't know you.
You shall.
Your door. I was leaning up against...
About my door. A little piece of ingenuity, a hospitable fancy. As you said yourself, you had no intention of meeting me tonight. We old people look for such reluctance now and then. That is why I had the door constructed in, shall we say, a one-way fashion.
Sir, my name is Dennis de Beaulieu. I burst into your house purely by chance. I'm a stranger.
But now you are a friend. Please allow me to have my own ideas about our relationship. They probably differ from yours at the present moment. But time will show which of us is right.
God, this is a madman.
Let's have a look at you, Dennis. Was that your name? Dennis something or other. No matter. We'll have a light in here in a moment.
Two shot. Interior. Night. Sparks in the darkness. as from the striking of a flint. A candle wick sputters, catches flame. The old man grins in the pale yellow light. He has a withered skin, small, strong eyes, a beard that seems first white, then pink, then white again, depending on how the light strikes it. He stares at Dennis patiently, without blinking.
Sir, I've never seen you before in my life.
No? A pity.
If you have your wits, old man, you've insulted me. And if you're insane, I flatter myself that I have better things to do with my time than to talk with lunatics. You've made a fool of me since I came in that crazy door of yours. I'm leaving, sir. If you won't show me a decent way out, I'll hack down your door with my sword.
My dear nephew, sit down.
Nephew? You lie in your throat.
Sit down, you rogue. If you prefer to be bound hand and foot until your bones ache, then try to go away.
What?
But if you choose to remain a free young buck, chatting agreeably with an old gentleman, why, sit where you are, and peace be with you.
Do you mean I'm a prisoner?
I state the facts. Draw your own conclusions. Of course you know who I am.
Now, how in the name of heaven would I know who you are?
How indeed. Allow me to introduce myself. I am the Sieur de Malatrois.
You belong to the House of Malatrois?
I am the head of the House of Malatrois.
Oh, this clears up everything. Your house is closely allied with King Henry. I am a lieutenant in the English army. Oh. We are friends.
We shall soon learn whether or not we are friends. Well, let us get on with it. Monsieur de Beaulieu, have the goodness to come with me. I shall have the honor of introducing you to my niece, who has been awaiting your arrival with great impatience.
Medium long shot. The Sieur de Malatois rises and walks down a long stone-vaulted corridor. Dennis follows behind him. At the end, they come to a curtained archway. The Sieur de Malatois pauses, then pulls the curtains aside. Medium close shot. Interior of a little chapel with glazed windows. Kneeling on the steps of the altar, a fresh young girl, 19 perhaps, dressed in a bridal gown. She holds her head lowered,
Blanche,
as if in
my
shame.
Child. Blanche, I have brought a friend to see you.
Oh, Uncle, spare me.
Turn around, my dear, and give him your pretty hand.
Very well. Uncle, that is not the man, I swear to you, that is not the man.
Of course not. I expected as much. It was so unfortunate you could not remember his name.
Oh, I have never set eyes on him before. Sir, if you're a gentleman, bear me out. Have you ever seen me in all your life?
I have never had that pleasure, mademoiselle.
Oh?
Monsieur, believe me, this is the first time that I have ever met with your engaging niece.
How sad. In that case, I shall give you 20 minutes to get acquainted. At the end of which time, Blanche de Malatrois and Dennis de Beaulieu will become husband and wife.
Here's Act Two of Henry Sidle Canby's favorite story, A Dramatic Reminder to All Young Men Never to Open a Door Without Knocking. For on the other side, you might find the Sieur de Malatrois. Well, our two young friends, Blanche and Dennis, are in a rather delicate dilemma. It's not easy to fall passionately in love in 20 minutes, especially when someone is timing you. Even though the young man may be handsome, and the young lady, as the troubadours might say, passing fair. To give you a vivid picture of what's happening in the story, I return you to the voice of the camera.
Boom shot. Interior. Night. Candlelight. Three figures in the little French chapel. The Sieur de Malatrois, cold, grim, and smiling. Dennis de Beaulieu, scratching his head, bewildered. and the delicate young woman in a bridal gown crumpled on the stone floor, the salt track of tears down her cheeks.
I swear before God I will stab myself rather than be forced on that young man.
I swear to you, sir, I have never seen this girl before.
I think you have. But if I'm wrong, I don't care one jackstraw. You'll marry her just the same. Blanche.
Yes, Uncle.
Be nice to this young fellow, Dennis something or other. The next one may not be so appetizing. 20 minutes. The priest and I will be waiting.
Oh, how my poor head aches.
Tell me, mademoiselle, if you have your wits about you, what is the meaning of all this?
It's my uncle. 3 months ago, a young captain began to stand near me every day in church. I could see that I pleased him, and oh, I know I'm as much to blame as he is, but when he passed me a letter, I took it home and read it. He asked me to leave a door open so that we could have a few words together on the stair.
Without a chaperone?
Oh, you're as bad as my uncle. Will there never be a day when a girl and a young man can hold hands together without being marked as criminals?
And your uncle found out what was going on.
I don't know how he found out, but he is very shrewd.
Yes.
Every day at church, the young man hands me a letter. Such nice letters. But this morning on my way home from Mass, my uncle seized my hand, forced it open, took the letter and read it. And that has been the ruin of us all.
What was in the letter, pray?
It was merely another request to have the door left open. So my uncle contrived to fix our door so that it would open easily enough from the outside, but it would trap whoever came in.
And of all the doors in France, I had to choose that one. Well, now what do we do?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
What are you doing?
Hmm?
That noise.
I'm whistling.
Whistling?
Yes. Everybody does it in England.
I've never seen anyone whistle before.
Really? Well, we can't whistle our way out of here, that's certain. Listen, Blanche, the young man, you love him?
I think so.
Aren't you sure?
I think I'm sure.
Now, suppose we look at it this way. Is he in love with you?
He said he was. He said he'd love me always.
What was the fellow's name?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No.
You love a man passionately, but you don't remember his name.
Well, not passionately.
Hmm. Well, somehow we should be able to locate this fellow, explain the situation to
him.
No.
I'd rather die than be so disgraced. It's very trying on a young girl's modesty to be forced on a gentleman.
It certainly is. It's disgraceful. Madam, I'm going to show the Sieur de Malatroit the error of his meddling with your courtship, and by heaven, I'll make him come back here and apologize to you.
The young gallant returns so soon.
I do, sir.
With a decision?
Sir, I have come to a decision. It is beastly of you to torture your niece this way. If I had been offered her hand freely, I would have been proud to have her as my wife. But under these circumstances, I must refuse.
Indeed.
And I advise you, Sieur de Malatroit, to beg her forgiveness for this harsh treatment.
Monsieur, I am afraid you don't understand the choice I am giving you in this matter. You had 20 minutes to decide whether or not you would marry my niece. Those minutes have now dwindled to fewer than 15. And just to help you arrive at the correct decision, I'd like to have you look out this window.
Medium shot. Night. Through the window casement, we can see the moonlit courtyard, the battlements of the castle of the Sieur de Malatroit. The camera rolls in closer to show an iron ring fixed in the masonry. Dangling from it, a rope. And at the end of the rope,
a noose.
Exactly. Made of very stout rope, you will notice.
You would hang your niece?
No. I would hang you.
You...
Frankly, I have no desire to see you kicking your heels in my courtyard. But you have been with my niece, alone and unchaperoned.
Do you still believe that
I believe what I choose. And if you aren't the guilty person, at any rate, you're in on the secret.
So if you won't marry the girl, at least I can stop the scandal.
You can't hang me. I still have my sword.
And I still have 100 loyal knights awaiting my command. They will take away your sword as one takes away a bright toy from a baby.
Nephew, choose whichever embrace you prefer. My niece's arms about your neck, or a rope.
Hello.
Hello.
You didn't have a very long talk with him?
No.
Did you show him how wrong he was?
Well, not exactly. He's going to hang me unless we're married.
No.
In 10 minutes, either I marry you or I hang in your uncle's courtyard.
Oh, no, you can't die. You will marry me after all. You will.
Do you think, madam, that I'm afraid of death?
Oh, I know you aren't a coward, but I couldn't bear to have you killed. Come, we'll tell my uncle to prepare the ceremony.
How is it possible for me to accept your generosity in a moment of noble feeling toward me to save my life? You forget what you may owe to someone else.
Oh.
You said you loved him.
I said I thought I loved him.
And you said that he loved you. So, believe me, dear young lady, I should be the last person in the world to allow my life to be saved by the wrecking of somebody else's romance. I'm not afraid to die.
Is there nothing I can do to help you?
No. No, thank you, my dear. Yes, there is something. Oh. I have perhaps 5 minutes more before I'm introduced to your uncle's rope.
Yes?
Let me sit beside you as if I were a friend instead of a foolish intruder, and let's try to make my last moments go as pleasantly as possible.
You are so gallant.
And no tears.
I'm selfish. I will be brave, Dennis, for your sake. Would you like to put your arm around me?
Oh, your shoulders are like ivory. Blanche, to think a few seconds from now I shall have to leave you.
Forever.
Don't cry. Please. Look. Whenever you feel sad, the best way to keep from crying is to whistle.
Whistle?
Yes. You can't cry and whistle at the same time, so if you're whistling, that keeps you from crying.
How do you do it?
Like this. Pucker up your lips.
Like this?
No, 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 not so hard. More easily. Just breathe. Try again. Oh, that's it. That's better. I'll try it again. There, isn't that better than crying?
Let's do it again. Oh, Dennis, 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 how can we do this whistling when you're going to die? Believe me, when I asked you to marry me, I didn't ask you out of pity. It was love that made me ask you, pure love. I know we've known each other less than an hour, but from the moment you took my part against my uncle, I've loved you with my whole soul.
Listen to me, Blanche. If there were no rope out there, and if you had a free choice, no uncle, no family, no trick doors, would you marry me?
Yes.
For myself alone?
Yes, 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 yes.
What about the other fellow?
Do you think he could have meant anything to me when I don't even know his name?
Of course not. Blanche, I love you. Under any other circumstances, I would give my right arm to marry you. And here I am, giving up my life to avoid it. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
You're sure you love me?
Positive. Are you sure you love me?
Of course. No, I think
so. No, I think.
Then we'll do it.
We'll do it.
There's only one thing.
What's that?
It makes me boil to think how happy this will make your uncle. Oh, the devil with him. Blanche de Malatrois, most beautiful of all women, will you take me to be your knight and your protector?
Until the last day of the world.
Well, young man, your time is up. What is your decision?
Get out of here and find us a priest, you old rogue. I want to be alone with my bride.
Congratulations, nephew. Congratulations.
close-up. Dennis and Blanche in each other's arms.
I can't believe that this night, which started out so badly, could end up as beautifully as this.
Dennis?
Yes, my love.
There's something I ought to tell you.
Later, my darling.
Oh, no, now. The captain.
What captain?
In the church.
What church?
Who asked me to leave the door open.
What door?
His name was Florimond de Champdivers.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear a word you said.
Medium shot. Day. A handsome young knight on horseback with his bride seated behind him on the palfrey.
Ending is always fashionable, and we're grateful to Robert Louis Stevenson for rescuing the young lovers from their difficulties. And our thanks to Dennis and Blanche in the persons of Howard Duff and Janet Waldo. We all hope you and Mr. Henry Seidel Canby enjoyed hearing his favorite story. It's a Russian adventure next week by that greatest of all Russian storytellers, Leo Tolstoy. An innocent man is sent to Siberia by the Tsarist government. And what happens to him is told in Broadway producer Eddie Darling's favorite story, God Sees the Truth But Waits. We hope you'll be listening.